But despite all of that, God still loves every single one of us, and God is still trying to reach every single one of us. But what's even amazing, that God gives us that hope that all of this will be done away with. And we'll just look at it in the past, and it's just a little glimpse based on eternity, that we have an entire eternity to enjoy life without all this hardship and awful things. You know, one of the things I learned when I was growing up is that two things. One, people disappoint you. And it kind of gave me to a point where I don't show that much excitement when plans are being made or things are going to take place, because I've had so much disappointment in the past that someone tell me, "Saeed, let's go and do this and we'll plan it." That's great. We'll see if it works out because of disappointments that I have in the past. But despite from that, the other thing I learned was that people disappoint, but God does not. And we can look through prophecies from all the way from Genesis to Revelation. God has always kept his word. So despite people falling and they're coming short of their promises, I know I can trust upon God. I can rely upon the Lord because he does not fail. We have the story of Joseph that we know we find in Genesis chapter 37. Was Joseph well-loved by his brothers? He had 12 brothers. Or I should say 11 brothers. He was one of the 12. No, he didn't. His brothers didn't like him. That had anything to do with him and who he is? No. It had to do with his father and the mother of Joseph. His brothers did not want him around. And despite that, what kind of attitude did he have? Gloomy and depressed all the time? He was cheerful. He wanted to hang out with his brothers. Wanted the best for his brothers. And if they messed up, the only thing he knew what to do was let his father know, which made it worse for him. He wanted to do well for his brothers and wanted his brothers to do well. But despite that, they didn't want him in their lives. It's easy to look for us to look back at his story and to say, "Oh, if only they had done this, or if they had done this, or oh, if his father was only able to treat them in this particular way." It's easy for us to look back and say, "Oh, things could have been better if this would have done that." But we have to remember that Joseph's brother didn't want him, and there was nothing that they could have done. Despite all the effort that God did through Joseph, through his brothers, through them directly, they did not want him around. But the only thing that happened was they changed their heart was after Joseph was no longer with them. Once they realized that he wasn't no longer around and the impact that they had in their lives, and the impact that they had mostly in their father, that they realized, yeah, maybe we missed something. Maybe we shouldn't have gotten rid of our brother. But why did Joseph had to endure such hardship from his brothers? And it's hard to say, oh, we see how he ended up becoming second in command of Egypt. But God could have done it a whole different way. He could have done it with a loving family, with older brothers that could have encouraged him and taught him incredible things. But yet he had to go through this hardship and these trials in his life. But why? I don't have the answers. But we do see how God blessed him and protected him. And through Joseph, God was able to protect and save his family, as well as many countless families during the famine that they dealt with. So why did he have to go through? I don't know. But we see that God still blessed him and guided him, and through him blessed many other families. There's a story of Job in the book of Job, right? It's 42 chapters of the book of Job. How was Job considered? He was considered a perfect and upright man, as told to us by Job chapter 1, verse 1. He was a wealthy man. He had many children. He had a very good reputation around his community. Everybody knew who Job was and respected who he is. And he was a man who feared God. He was given an example of who God is to not only his family, but the entire community at large. Yet, everything was taken away from him. His children, his wealth, his reputation, even his health as well, up to a certain point. He did not die. But yet, he had no idea what he was dealing with, why he had to deal with these trials and these hardships, why did he have to lose everything. Everyone was against him. His supposedly close friends said, oh, you must have done something awful secretly against God, and that's why you're getting all these things. And the one that's supposed to have been by his side always, to thick and thin, death or in good health or in bad health, his wife also rejected him. Said, you must have done something. You must repent because of what you've done. This is why we're going through this hardship. Yet he never lost faith. And after getting pretty much no answers from God on why he was going through this, he still trusted and obeyed the Lord. And we know at the end, God still blessed him twice as much than what he had in the beginning of the story. He continued to give an incredible example to others to continue to trust and obey the Lord. We may not know why we may go through hardships, but God can use that to bless ourselves, our family, and everyone around us. In the story of Job, we are shown a glimpse of the battle of good and evil. We're shown that there is something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about until God reveals little glimpses of it to let us realize we're in the midst of a war. And in the midst of a war, as we know that happening in Ukraine and other parts of the world, other innocent people get impacted by it, whether they're directly in it or a little bit outside from that, you still get impacted from the war, whether mostly in a bad way. But we're able to see a little glimpse of what's going on behind the scenes. But there's also the story of Jesus. Jesus was prophesied from early on in Genesis that he was going to come. He was going to be our Messiah, our Savior, our hero, superhero, to get rid of sin, to come after Satan. And yet, what happened when he arrived? A great party. Oh, here is our Savior, our Messiah. No, not even one word. A few shepherds far in the east came by and realized, oh yeah, there must be a Messiah coming today. We had the mother and the father, maybe a few others. That's about it. Not much big celebration. Yet we know that he had an incredible impact in the lives of everyone. Before he came, while he was here, and even after he ascended. Jesus is known as the Son of God, prophesied to come and take away the sin of the world, from John chapter 1, verse 29. But even at birth, there were people who wanted to get rid of him. They did not want him to be born. Throughout his ministry, Jesus had many events in his life that put him in danger. Satan wanted him not to be successful, wanting him to either be infected by sin, to go the easy route, or even end his life before he accomplishes his mission. John 10, chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus had preached in the synagogue. And it said that the people were picking up stones to stone Jesus. But it wasn't the first time they did that. Satan trying to end Jesus' life so that he doesn't accomplish his task. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27, Jesus is in a ship with his disciples. And what is Jesus doing? Sleeping. Why would he sleep? Because he has no concern or worry. He knows the ship will be fine. There is no storm coming. The meteorologist didn't mention anything about some kind of storm or rain. But yet, what occurred? Suddenly, a storm appeared, and a storm powerful enough to sink the ship and everyone in it. And the disciples, concerned and worried, woke up Jesus, and Jesus, what did he say? First thing he says, ye of little faith. And he calmed the storm down. He continued on his course. And of course, we have the cross. The pain and suffering that Jesus went through on our behalf. He did not deserve to go through the cross. He did not deserve to be betrayed or to be whipped or to be spit at or to be called all sorts of awful names. Yet Jesus went through it for you and for me. He even died, but yet in his death, what happened? He was victorious even unto death and was able to be resurrected. Jesus endured all so that we may have the chance for eternal life. Then there's our story. You have your own story. I have my story, our life story, and we have endured through many ups and downs and challenges that we have faced, from discrimination to racism to loss of family, through natural disasters, through wars. Many of you have incredible stories. We can only imagine what we might have gone through. And yet, despite all of that, we are able to witness God's blessing. We have felt rejected, mistreated, ignored, told we're not good enough, called names, and endured losses in our lives. Yet we have witnessed God every aspect of our lives. Whether we realize it, sometimes we have to look back and realize, oh, God was there. God had placed this person there. God had placed this message for me to hear. God had placed this, had a certain event to take place that provided blessings and guided me through my life. We can see how God guided us through our trials and tribulations in our life, how he has transformed our character and given us victory over various sins and temptations. I mean, if we talk to people that met us 10, 20, 30 years ago, many times they'll be like, you're a different person than I met before. You have changed, and in a positive way. You know, I've had friends that I had in high school. I wasn't able to attend, but we had a high school reunion last year. And the few that were able to gather in this group message, it's amazing how much they've changed in the last 20 years. But the other is they realize a big change in mine. Because in our interaction and conversation, many of the things that they kept saying, it's like, whoa, I didn't know this about you, Saeed. I didn't hear this about you before. There were things that we didn't know about each other and the impact that God has had in my life. I was able to talk to someone who I thought they would grow, become more committed to God, but they had drifted away over the years. And so our conversation started, I thought was going to be hopeful, but ended up becoming very awkward. I did not expect them to have walked away so much from their faith. But we see the changes that God has done in my life. So when we come across verses that bring to us difficult situations, for instance, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says that there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. We know that there's a coming trouble in this world, a challenge that had never been experienced ever in history. We have glimpses of it. Jesus referred to the time of Noah leading up to the flood, the condition that the world was in. He tells us about the time of Lot and the condition that they were in that environment. We hear about when the first destruction of, the destruction of Jerusalem, was it 70 AD, little glimpses of what will take place, even during the Dark Ages, a span of 1260 years, the persecution of God's people, the hardship that people went through during that time period. They weren't allowed to study the Word of God. There were famine. There were various different situations. And yet, nothing compares to what will take place. So when we read verses like Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it should bring us to be scared and fearful of what will take place. But don't stop there. Continue to read the rest of the verse. It says, and in that time, that same time, that time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, it says, and that time thy people shall be delivered. God will not forsake us, and he will always be there with us. So in that time of trouble, when it comes, we are not to be fearful. We are to be looking for God, and he will deliver us. It says, everyone that shall be found written in the book of life. There is no price for us to pay to be part of God's people. There is nothing that we can do of ourselves to make it there. We must accept the free gift that God has given us. I find that amazing that when you try to provide and when you try to sell something, I mean, we try to sell eggs and we provide a price as best reasonable as we can. It's hard to get some people to do it. But if you do it for free, all hands up. I'll take some. I'll take a couple of more. I'll have friends and family that can benefit from this. All of a sudden, you put a free sign. Everybody wants it. This is free. And yet, how difficult it is for people to accept. How challenging it is for people to say, yes, I accept this free gift. Because what comes with that? It comes with a transformation of our hearts and our minds. Now, all of a sudden, those things that you thought you loved and enjoyed, no longer do you have a love for that. Now, there's other things that you appreciate and enjoy much more. And people don't want to let go of those things. Despite it being free, there's huge challenges that people have in accepting that free gift. God tells us in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4 and in verse 6, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." God already has a place for us. He has many mansions. Unless you prefer other translations, has many apartments or... But anyways, God has a prepared a place for us. There is nothing for us to be troubled or concerned. Yes, there will be concerns, and we'll be troubled for our loved ones and our family, our friends, even for mankind. We know we don't want people to be lost. But I want us to remember is that God wants us to let us know we should not be troubled. God will not forsake us. He is ready and willing to deliver us from sin. So what is that way that God tells us that we should know? Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's a lot of questions out there, especially through the ecumenical movement, that we can all come together, and there's many different ways to get to God. But clearly here it says it is through Jesus. And others may try to find a very clever way, say, all roads lead to Jesus, and from Jesus will lead us to God. We need to be careful with that. Depending where we are, yes, God can find all sorts of ways that depending where you are in life, he can lead you to Jesus. But that is different than in saying, despite the religious views you want to hold on to, that will lead you to Christ or to God. Because that can lead you to confusion, and can lead you to a misunderstanding of who God is, and most importantly, who Jesus is. So we need to be careful when we express those kinds of viewpoints. When we read about what's going to take place in Revelation chapter 13, about this beast power, it says in verse 15 through 16, "He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads." Despite all of us, we all fall into this. All of us are small or great, rich or poor, free or slave. We all fall into one of those categories. We all can easily be put to death because we refuse to accept that mark of the beast. But what does God tell us? Are we to be fearful? Oh, I don't want to get a chip in my hand because that could be the mark of the beast. I don't want to get involved in digital currency because that could be the mark of the beast. I don't want to do my, real ID because that could be the mark of the beast. In reality, any of it could be used to control people, but it could be none of that. It could be something that comes out later on that we had no idea what it could be. But ultimately, we need to understand what the purpose of Revelation 13 is to draw our attention is worship. Who do you worship? And not just, I worship God or whatever based on my words, but our life, our choices, the actions that we take. Does that reflect who I worship? And if it does, it makes no difference what they use to control people, because our life will reflect who we worship. And if we worship God, God will lead us to what we should get involved in, and what we should embrace, what we should accept, what we should reject, what we should be careful of individually as God leads us in our lives. But remember, we have God on our side despite all these things that might be occurring or will occur. Because a lot of these things, and I hear a lot of people from our faith and from secular world saying all these things that might come into place this year and the next couple of years. But in reality, it could all be completely different. It could come much sooner or much later than anybody can predict. We must not lose focus on what we need to be doing with our Lord, and is understanding who he is and getting our hearts and minds in order with God. God tells us in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that ye may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Don't we all have tribulations? We might be a little more at peace here in the United States or in here in South Carolina, but definitely our brothers and sisters around the world are in quite tribulation. I know I have family in Venezuela. They're not so much at peace based on the challenges that they have to face. But if you talk to them, their hearts are at peace because they know that God is with them. It says, in the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That brings us to great peace because despite all the challenges that we face, God already has overcome the world. God already wins. I like it when Christians say, you know, when they talk about all these things that's going to take place, they're like, hey, I already read the last part of the book. Jesus wins. Case closed. There's nothing for us to be concerned or worried about. Let's just get through these challenging times, and together as a family, being there for one another, we will make it through with God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Even personally, every day, we may have moments where we're challenging with things. We're challenging with temptation. We're challenging with sin. We're challenging with our relationships, whether we with our families or strangers. But God is letting us know that greater is he that is in us. So if we're dealing with challenges, we should pray. That is one of the tools that God gives in this battle that we're dealing with. And in that prayer, it can help us to deal with whatever issues we may be going through, whether it be something we can do to improve it, or it could be something that's out of our hands. God can help us, guide us through these issues and problems. And when we are facing hatred and persecution because of our faith, we may get little glimpses here and there. Someone doesn't like because you go to church on Sabbath, or doesn't like that you're so kind and nice. They may slam your door when you're trying to go to door to door and share the gospel message. We may have little moments, glimpses here of hatred or persecution, or might have a huge confrontation. God tells us in Matthew 24, verse 9, says, when they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations by my name's sake. He tells us, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. I'm not saying we're all going to be killed. I'm not saying we're all going to die because of our faith. Many of us will not. We'll be able to stay alive. But what God is letting us know, that we must continue to move forward. The enemy is hugely active to try to stop God's people from sharing the truth with the world. We're not going around forcing people with the gospel message. We're given our opportunity. An opportunity is given, we share the gospel message, but with that comes with challenges. But God assures us, continue, endure to the end. I will give you everything you need in the energy, the strength, the ability, the words, the resources, who to go to, but endure to the end and you shall be saved. In John chapter 15, verse 20, and when it says about saved, it's not that we don't have our salvation assured. In terms of we will make it through to the end. In John chapter 15, verse 20, he says, remember the word that I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus did not live this perfect life. Everything was wonderful and great. Walked through the fields and everything was wonderful. And when he talked to the Pharisees and Sadducees, oh, they had a wonderful conversation. He had hardship every single step that he took. Every challenge, it was there at every corner. And yet he endured to the end. He kept maintaining the character of God in his heart and in his life. And as he, Jesus, our Messiah, our superhero, dealt with so much, his followers will deal with as well. But everything, God will not forsake us. He is there with us. Remember these verses. Matthew 5, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. God's people were persecuted. God's people were rejected. Even look at the nation of Israel. They didn't always live in peace with the nations around them. They were always with hardship and challenges that they had to face. Yet, we should not forget that that great is our reward waiting for us in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Something that I'm reminded from this lesson that we had this week in during Sabbath school is that during the judgment, Jesus is giving a great kingdom. He is giving, you can say in terms of document-wise, this planet. He now is our representative of this planet. Soon, he'll claim it physically when he returns, claiming what is his, not just his people, but even this earth. But you know what's amazing? He doesn't hold it for the rest of eternity. He gives it back to us. So we will be definitely heirs to the kingdom of heaven. We may hear of coming crisis and famine, economic failures, and increase of surveillance due to increase in violence and insecurities. But Jesus reminds us in Matthew 24 how all these things must come to pass. But be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome and will soon return to take us home. We may not know specifically why we had to face the trials and sorrows in our lives, but we understand that as we face them and continue to hold on to Jesus, we will endure and be overcomers with him. And as it says in Luke 21, verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. God bless you.